Hello world, this is Angela DiCarlo and we're ready for another amazing day. Today I'm going to read one of my favorite poems, proses, pieces of art that I have followed for many years. It is called The Master in the Art of Living, and it has been attributed to different people. Some call it a Zen Buddhist text, some trace it back to an actual author. Obviously somebody wrote it, but I've been reading it for many years and I just love it. It's very refreshing and it makes me feel good because some days are harder than others. And so it's important to make sure you're on track. All right, so let's get into it. It is called The Master in the Art of Living. The master in the art of living makes little distinction between their work and their play, their labor and their leisure, their mind and their body, their education and their recreation, their love and their religion. They hardly know which is which. They simply pursue their vision of excellence in whatever they do, leaving others to decide whether they are working or playing. To them, they are always doing both. I love this piece of art just because it lets you know that you can be working and playing at the same time. You can be laboring and leisuring at the same time. You know, you can find work that relaxes you. You can find play that fulfills you and pays you. You can find things that both invigorate your mind and your body. Things that combine your education with your recreation, your love with your religion. You know, you hardly know which is which. You just simply pursue your vision of excellence in whatever you do. You know, you leave others to decide whether you're working or playing. You don't really care. You know, to you, you're always doing both. You're working, you're playing, you're having fun, you're being yourself, you're being amazing, you're volunteering, you're contributing, you're working, you're earning, you're traveling, you're playing, you're being fun and crazy and ridiculous all at the same time. And that's how I've lived my life. I've just always been kind of doing a little bit of everything and having fun as much as I can. You know, I hit depression just like everyone else, and I have my days where I just can't get to work and days where nothing happens and nothing flows. You know, today was one of those mornings. I just couldn't get going, couldn't get moving, couldn't get going. So I was just like, well, let me just read my favorite prose. Like, I really love this Master in the Art of Living. And it always helps me to remember that, like, okay, some days I just need to take a little break, refresh, go back to basics. I was reading this book that I've read, I've been reading, called Driven to Distraction at Work. A friend recommended it to me because I sometimes feel like I have attention deficit disorder, attention deficiency hyperactivity disorder, right? But I don't have a lot of the traits of it. So this book talks about attention deficit trait, the growing workplace problem. Man, how there's in the book, he has an outline of six different types of distractions at work and how to overcome them. You know, screen sucking, multitasking, idea hopping, worrying, playing the hero, and dropping the ball. For me, I'm an idea hopper. I have ideas all the time. I have never-ending ideas pouring out of my head, nonstop. I used to be a very active multitasker, and once I had my son, I honestly felt like my mind became very one-track oriented, and as soon as I would hear a cry or something, it was like instantly to my son, take care of my child. And then as I get back into the work world, I felt like I have a need to finish the task before I can move on to the next one. So multitasking is something I've had to learn to stay away from personally. I know other people who they constantly worry. That's another attention deficit trait, according to this book, Driven to Distraction at Work. Screen sucking is a very powerful one, too. It's about how the electronics control you and how to control your electronics so they don't control you. It talks about everything from, you know, just too much screen time, too much phone time, too much video game addiction, to even just like shopping on your phone to get out of thinking of what you're dealing with at the moment. I mean, I've personally, you know, like, okay, I don't want to be sitting where I am, so I'll just hop onto my online shopping site and shop for some random thing that I really don't need just to distract me from the situation. Or sometimes I just have 2 minutes to wait, and that's what I do. And, you know, it's not good for your credit, it's not good for your money, it's not good for your brain, you know, unless it's an essential. And then another one, playing the hero, how to stop fixing everyone's problems except your own. And have you ever just played the hero and trying to fix everyone's and ignoring your own? I know I do that a lot sometimes when I'm trying to avoid my own work. So I call people, hey, how can I help you with your problems? And then I avoid doing the things that I most need to do. Dropping the ball, how to stop underachieving at work. You know, a lot of us don't, especially if you have a day job, don't give 100% at work because we feel like there's nothing in it for us. So I know when I had a real job at a real company, you know, I would give it my all and I would do really, really well until some other distraction came up that made me more excited than that project or that thing. So it's important to, you know, get that life balance of like what is really important to you, but also, you know, not necessarily to make that distinction. As the article says, the master in the art of living makes little distinction between their work and their play. So if you love your work, then you make it a game. Like when I worked at Balance Bar, that was my favorite company to work for because it was an energy bar. We had ads. I went to, you know, on vacation and I would go and look at the energy bar aisles. I was very excited and very passionate about the project. Now, over the years, I've worked for companies that weren't quite so exciting. Like I worked for a phone company where we sold business phone numbers. I mean, it's not really that exciting. But, you know, you still have to make it fun. We were doing Google AdWords. So it's like learning about Google and the industry and spending $1 million a month on Google ads. Like it was just craziness. And they were making a lot more than that. So it was, you know, return on investment was very high for the company. For me, I was barely making a salary. And but during that time, I also went through like a transition in life of, okay, this isn't what I want to do. What do I really want to do? And sitting and taking a look at myself and my life and where I want to go and getting back to the vision board. And personally, I know I need to redo my vision board. I really do need to take that action and commit that 2 to 3 hours to actually just do it, sit down, write it, do it, and get down to business. So in your life, do you feel like you're missing that distinction between like your work and your play and that life that you really want? Are you feeling like you've gotten off track? You know, do you feel like maybe doing a vision board exercise would help you to get some more clarity in your life and understanding of where you are now and where you want to go and kind of setting goals for where you want to go? You know, I like to use the analogy of like, you know, getting a car. So you just tell someone, oh, I need a new car. Oh, great. So somebody throws a brand new piece of crap broken down golf cart in your driveway. Say that because there is one right now. We did want a golf cart. I didn't want a broken down one, but hey, there you go. I didn't specify clearly enough the brand or type or style of golf cart I want. So now I have a broken down golf cart in my driveway that I'm going to fix up. It'll be fun and great eventually. But if you would ask specifically, like, universe, I want to attract, you know, the Mercedes Maybach, which is the top of the line, most beautiful car that I've seen online in a long time that fits the style I want, with the white and blue interior and a blue exterior and a little bit of hints of some color changing rainbow on the outside, something very pretty. That's what I would manifest and that's what I would focus on. That's what I'm going to put on my vision board. Now, am I going to get that today or tomorrow? Probably not. But without having that clarity of the vision, I can't aspire to something. Now, I'm not saying it has to be some fancy car or fancy clothes or fancy anything. Just getting clarity on what you want and clearing out the clutter that's taking up that space. You know, one of the projects I need to do today is I'm doing laundry, right? And I do laundry and I always wash the same clothes over and over again. Do you ever have this where you're always like, and then you go to put your clothes away and there's either no room for your clothes because your closet's full with stuff you never wear, either because it doesn't fit right or it's just not the style you want or it's the wrong season. So what I'm going to do before I put my clothes away is I'm going to grab a couple suitcases and a couple bags and I'm going to put the clothes that I want to keep in the suitcases and then label it. And then I'm going to put the clothes I'm going to give away, donate, or bring to a future event for the costume exchange and put them in bags. And then I'm going to put my laundry away. And then I'll have a lot less clothes and I'll also see what clothes I wear all the time. I personally love royal blue. Royal blue is my color. You'll see me in it all the time. And black. I just like black clothes too because it hides everything. I always feel I look better in black. So I love rainbows and blue and black and that's pretty much my wardrobe. And then really fun sparkly shoes that are comfortable as can be anyway. So for me, I'm getting clarity on that and mastering my art of living is going to be, you know, clearing out my space, decluttering the leisure space that is my closet and stop making it such a labor. It's been so painful every time I go to get dressed. You know, I did a really good thing not too long ago is I cleared out all the excess, like underwear, you know, which sounds silly, but you have like a whole drawer full of lingerie that you never wear, or boxers or whatever it is. And if you just clear out the stuff you never wear and put it in another drawer or a suitcase or something, and then, or donate it to wherever, then you go and every day you just, you open the door and it's everything you want, nothing you don't want, you know, whether it's the t-shirts that you never wear or the clothes. It's just, I find there's a lot of clarity in that, getting rid of the clutter, you know. And I'm not a minimalist by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a maximalist. I want the most out of life. I am a luxury gypsy. I love the best that I can get and the best I can make. I'm a fashion designer by trade and by passion. It's just something I'm really great at. My grandmothers on both sides were amazing seamstresses. They made suits and costumes galore, and I just inherited that. My mother taught me how to sew when I was very young, and teaching my son as well. And it's just a great thing to do. So mastering the art of living is really clearing out your space, you know, get rid of the distractions. If you love playing an instrument but you're not doing it enough, maybe put that in your office, so that way when you're at your office and you're taking that 15-minute break that you probably never take, or that you take on the internet, maybe take that 15 minutes and play guitar instead. You know, I recently moved my guitars into my office and I rearranged the space. And I actually went to the library and bought the original DVD I got down, I'm sorry, rented, the original DVD that I learned how to play guitar with, which was David Hamburger's folk guitar method. I believe it's called acoustic guitar method. And I'm watching it again, and it's fresh because now my fingers know where everything goes. My hands know how to hold the guitar. And I did the class with my son last night, who's only 5, and he actually wanted to strum the guitar. Now, we had done guitar lessons together for a year, guitar and violin, and he never wanted to touch the violin or the guitar and never really learned to press the strings. Now, I get it. He was very young, but we were doing the Suzuki method where they start at age 3. And kids can learn instruments that young, and you know, they're called prodigies, but they're just students that are learning. It's just like learning to speak a language. Are you a prodigy just because you can speak a language by 5? No. But by giving that student or that child that skill, you're giving them the ability to make their play part of their work and their labor part of their leisure, because now they have that talent and that skill. So whether it's playing a guitar or strumming on the, you know, keyboard, playing on the keyboard, or just, you know, doing designs or crafting or whatever it is that makes you happy, you know, that's where it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing that's making you happier? And how do you live a better life starting right now? You know, it's really about getting clarity on what you want in your life and how to live a better life altogether. So trying to remove the barriers from your own life so that you can live a better life starting right now would be good. All right, I'm Angela DiCarlo. It has been a pleasure talking with you this morning. You're welcome to go to my website, angeladicarlo.com. I will post The Master and the Art of Living. It is a great poem. It is something I read often, not often enough lately, but I will. Remember that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Choose to live it well.